Is it night time?
Yeah.
Not too early?
That's not it.
Rashi writes on the opening Mishnah in Sukkah that the reason why it's called the Sukkah is because of the Schach. The Schach gives the shade. And the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that there are three conditions that are necessary for the Schach to be kosher. Number one, it has to be Gedulei Karka. It has to have grown from the ground. Synthetic material is not good. Or metal is not good. It doesn't grow on the ground. It's Karka. It's not Gedulei Karka. Then it has to be Tolush. If it's still attached to the ground, it's no good. Then it has to be Dovah She'enem Mekabel Tuma. If you have fruits, peiros, so the din is that Oichel Maronim Mekabel Tuma Efsha they had Hechsher. If they rinsed it off with water. What if you have peiros that are not Mekabel Tuma because you didn't rinse them off yet? So the Gemara says, the Gemara seems to imply that it's possible for Schach, but it's a Machlekes Achreinim, whether it's a Psul Deraisa or Psul Derabanan. Because maybe it's not yet considered Dover Haroi Lekabel Tumah until you wash it off. Maybe it's not considered Oichel until you wash it off. Certainly not Mekabel Tumah until you wash it off, but maybe it's already considered Oichel before. If you have Kli Eitz, let's say you had a bed made from wood, wooden boards of the bed, so it's Mekabel Tumah, then the whole bread broke and you threw it out in the garbage. So in the Chumash, there's a din of Kli Eitz, any Kli that was Mekabel Tumah, Yishover, if you break it, so it's, it no longer has the Tumah, it's no longer Roy Lekabel Tumah. But nonetheless, there's a Gzer Midir Rabbanon, that Shivrei Kelim, Harei Mesachechim Bohem, Midir Rabbanon. What if you have, let's say, wooden schach, wooden slats, and you painted it a different color? So the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetin has a discussion based on the Gemara and the end of Bava Kama that that's Nishtana. And the Gemara says that string is sometimes Gidule Karka. Hemp grows on a bush. There is the string that's Gidule Karka. So the Gemara says that the string is possible for Schach. The question is why? So Rashi and Tosfos interpret because if the string is Rashi and Tosfos says that it's Mekabel Tumah. It's Mekabel Tumah Saras Begodim. And the Rambam learns a different shot, not because it's Mekabel Tumah, but rather because it's Nishtana. Because since it's not in its original form, when you look at the hemp, it doesn't look like it looked when it was growing on the bush. So whenever it's nishtane, so it's posel v'sachach, because it's considered a different chepzah. Just like shinui, the Gemara says, just like a ganav is kind of a shinui, and the Gemara says, a din of a ganav is kind of a shinui, is learned out from the Shitas Beis Hillel, by Yestan Zayna Mechir Kelev, that if it's nishtane, if I give the Zayna grapes and she made wine, I give a chitim, she makes flour out of it, so it's nishtane, so it's a different chepzah. So too the mitzvah, the Heshav is Hagzel, only applies if it's in its original state. If it's nishtane, then it's a parim chadosh, it's both the kind of difference. So the same over here. If you painted the schach, some people paint the schach, that it shouldn't get ruined by the rain. So if you painted the schach, that'll be possum. That's a question, whether nishtane is it really possum in Hatar, it's only possum in the Rabbana, because it doesn't look like you do the karka. In Shulchan Aruch, they assume that the schach, the nishtane, let's say the hemp that grows on the bush, and then you make a cord out of it, that's only possible the sachech boy midirabonan. Therefore, they have a possibility of a kula. We'll get to it soon. What if you have a sheet of wood? It's gedule karka, and it's tolush, and it's ainu mekabel tumah. It's pshute kleit. So there's a taisus in the first parak of Sukkah. Taisus on Dalet Amud Aleph. Taisus says that if it's a wide, a pshuti kleitz, it's not mekabel tumah. Let's say you have a Dixie cup and you have a little spoon. So a little spoon is a pshuti kleitz, it's flat. A wooden kelim or only mekabel tumah have to have a base kibbel, if you have an indentation. But if it doesn't have it, just a flat spoon for a Dixie cup, that's dovah she'enem mekabel tumah. But if you have a wide board of wood, so Tosfos has a chiddush that that's mekabel tumah midirabbanan, that it's like a serving tray, even though it doesn't have libs of ozen. If you would have a tray They would have a little wall around it. What do you call
rim?
A rim. A rim that goes up a little bit. So in case the dish starts to roll, it's not going to roll off. It's going to bump into the wall on the side. That's called in Hebrew. That's called libzavazen. I don't know if it's Hebrew. And Mishnah Hebrew. So that's a base kibble. But if you have a wide board of wood, Taisa says that that's mekabel tumah midrabbanan. That's considered a base kibble midrabbanan. But even if you don't accept what Taisa said, if you have a sheet of wood that's so big it covers the whole sukkah and it doesn't rain in, if it's going to rain, it won't rain in. So the Rishonim quote the Taisus. I don't think we have this in the Taisus. The Ran quotes from the Balei Taisus that they interpreted Pshat and the Braisa on Ches on the Beis, and that's no good. Because the Mishnah says that if it rains in Eretz Yisrael, normally it doesn't rain on Sukkot. America, it always rains on Sukkot. So if it rains on Sukkot, it's not a bad simon. But in Eretz Yisrael, if it rains on Sukkot, then the Mishnah says it's a bad simon, because that's not the normal time in Eretz Yisrael, it's the dry season. It normally doesn't rain. Very rare that it should rain. So why is it a simin ra? As if the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want to accept a mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. Why is it a simin? Because mitzvah is potam on sukkah. If it's raining, you don't have to sit in sukkah. Why is it a simin ra? You could have made a sukkah that it won't rain in. Use gidulei karka, tolush, dovashenim, mekabel tumah, and make a whole sukkah like that. So the Rishonim quote in the name of the Balei HaTesis, if you have so much schach that the mamash doesn't rain in at all, then it's possible. Same thing you can have, let's say you put a lot of schach on top. You put branches and branches and branches. If you put a ton of schach on top, and it's not going to rain in. It's also no good. The sukkah has to be beso shal kol hashana. It can't be beso shal kol hashana kula. Beso shal kol hashana. Let's say there are people who live, there are communities with in South Africa. The blacks live in little tents. They look like sukkahs, shacks. They look like sukkahs. So if someone decides to convert, he can't be yotze if he's going to sit in his beis shalkol hashana kula. You have to take off the roof and put it back on again. He can't be yotze with the beis shalkol hashana. It has to be something separate. The Gemara quotes machlokes of Yudah Nachachamim, where the sukkahs are chag b'chag is chay b'mezuzah or not. And what does machlokes depend on? You're only obligated to put a mezuzah if it's a diras keva. If it's only a diras aroy, you're not mukhiv to put a mezuzah. So Abuda's opinion is that the sukkah sachag b'chag, you're only yotze if it's a diras keva. We pasken against Abuda, you're only yotze if it's a diras aroy. Mamish the hepech. You're only yotze if it's a diras aroy. The Aruch Laner on the first daf in sukkah points out that 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher, all the normal sukkahs. They're all kosher. According to Abuda, they're kosher because they are diras keva. According to the Chacham, and the way we pass on the kosher, because they're not diras keva. 1% of all the sukkahs in the world are mamish keva, and then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's fine, and the way we pass on it's no good. It's mamish keva. Kavoy lemale mes mama is like diras keva, so we would pass on yinat yotze. And then 1% of all the sukkahs in the world, that 1 or 2%, tiny percent, are diras aroy. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not yotze. According to the way we pass on, you are yotze. You have a sukkah that's very wobbly. Gemara has a case, sukkah gabi asukkah. And the floor of the upper sukkah is the schach of the lower sukkah. So if a person is skinny, a little child can sit, a person is fat, so he's gonna be, the whole floor is going to be shaking. So that's a deal. It may fall through. But even if Tim Simon doesn't fall through, not going to fall through, but it's going to be wobbly. So wobbly is a diras haroi. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be yotze. According to the Chachamim, it would be yotze. So it's opposite from each other. That's what Aruch Laner points out. It's interesting. 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher l'chaladeis, but for two different reasons. According to Rabbi Yehuda, because we declare them all as diras keva. According to Rabbama, faket, because we declare it as a diras haroi. So we pass, and it has to be diras haroi. Diras keva is no good. If it doesn't rain in, we say that that's no good. The whole idea of a sukkah, the way we assume l'alocha, same diras keva, the ikonis of diras haroi. We should leave the house that gives us protection all year long. We should dafka go to the sukkah, which is only diras haroi, to show that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives the Bnei Yisrael protection, like when we were in the Midbar. For 40 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a divine protection with the Nani HaKovid. The pasuk says, "Man yede derasechem ki pasukos hashavte is bnei Yisrael." So the Bach points out in his commentary on the tour that he has a chiddush. He thinks that the tour is driving at this idea that if a person sits in sukkah and he doesn't have mind the tam ha-mitzvah, that is not yotzei the mitzvah. Since the pasuk says every mitzvah they have reason. You look in the Sefer Chinuch, he has reasons for all the mitzvahs. The Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim and the end of the Mor Nebuchim also have tamei ha-mitzvahs. From the Arizal, from the Chassidus Sforim, everybody talks about tamei ha-mitzvah. Different suggestions are always given for tamei ha-mitzvah. But having kavana for the tamei ha-mitzvah is not me'akev. So the Bach has a chiddush that once in a while having kavana for the tamei ha-mitzvah is likuva when the pasuk says, sit in the sukkah, called as Hussel Yeshua of Sukkah's man, yet there is Sechem. You should sit in the sukkah in order to reminisce about the fact. You should look at this chach, reminisce about the fact. Kibasukkah so shafta is ben Esau, but see, Oisim, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Supposed to have kavanah for the Tama Mitzah. So that's Tosfos Chiddush. That if you have, the Rishonim quoted from Tosfos, if you have schach, where the rain doesn't fall in, that's Besel Shalkol HaShem Kula, then you're not Yotzei. Then, of course, you have to have defanus also. There's a machlekes hatanaim, how many defanus you need, whether shalosh kelchasam, or vias afil tefach, or shtaim kelchasam, or shlishas afil tefach. That's how we paskim. Shtaim kelchasam means like this, at a right angle to each other. If you have two parallel defanus, you don't say shlishas afil tefach. If you have two adjacent at a right angle to each other, then you say shlishas afil tefach. But then the Gemara says, we don't recommend to make a sukkah like that, because the Gemara says, you have to move the shlishes afilu tefach away a little less than three tefachim, so you'll still be able to say lovud. So you should move it away, and the tefach should be, shlishes afilu tefach should be a tefach sochek, slightly more than a tefach mashu. So that altogether you have four tefachim, and four tefachim is either, some Rishonim say four tefachim is the sheer lovud, four tefachim is a shir makim. A mechitza has to be makiv a makim. And a makim, the minimum size of a makim is dalar al dalar tefachim. So you have a mechitza that's mishamish, a makim that's less than dalar tefachim, it's not called a mechitza. So here, if you move the tefach, shlishes up the tefach, move it away 2.9 tefachim away from the end of the second shtaimke ochasim, like this, right angle. You move it away, almost three tefachim away, and the tefach is slightly more than a tefach, so you're going to have four tefachim. So four tefachim is a shia mokim, so therefore the mechitza is mishamish to a mokim. So that's called shlishis afil tefach. That's a question whether that din that you have to be marchik three tefachim, is that minatar, midirabonin, whatever it is, it's a complicated story, so you don't want to look for trouble. So we always make the shlishis normally. I remember one woman was showing me, I was visiting in their home for NCSY function before Sukkot. So she showed me, she lived in Muncie, and she showed me Rabbi Tendler said they built the house in such a way that they can convert everything into a Sukkot. They just have to take off the roof. So Rebbetzin, Rabbi Tendler's wife who passed away, Mrs. Tendler was there. And she said, that's not a kosher sukkah. So the wife said, no, Rabbi Tendler was here, your husband was here. He said, it's a kosher sukkah. I said, I don't think he said it. It's a kosher sukkah. Am I missing too much over here? So we don't recommend shlishes afilu tefach. Don't look for trouble. Make three walls. Tosfos points out there's no violation of Baal Tosef if you have four walls on the sukkah. That's perfectly all right. By the Tfanis, there is no din. It doesn't have to be Gedule Karka. It doesn't have to be Tolush. You can use trees. You can use buildings. You can use bricks. Bricks are not Gedule Karka. You can use bricks. I happen to right outside of my dining room, climb out the window from my dining room is the landing where we have the sukkah. So some people just use the two buildings as two walls, and they make a third wall. You can use the buildings of the walls. There's no din of tasa min ha'asa, tasa v'la min ha'asa on the walls. There's only a din of tasa v'la min ha'asa on the schach. And there's no din that has to be gedule karka. You can use the walls, can be bricks, karka mamish. That's not a problem. The Gemara has a klal in mechitzas for Shabbos and mechitzas for Sukkah. The fanas for Sukkah, they're not exactly the same. Some of the dinim are the same, but they're not always 100% the same. That's why we call it by Shabbos, we call it mechitzas, and by Sukkah we call it the fanas, because they're slightly different. So the dinim of, there is one tana requires that the defanas have to have the same requirements as the schach, but we don't accept that opinion. You can make brick walls. It's not a problem. Can you make walls from plastic sheets or cloth sheets? So the Mechabes recommends you shouldn't, because the Gemara has a klal both in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Sukkah that mechitza shein yechol lamed b'fnei broch mitzuya is not a valid mechitza. Same din, let's say, Misha Mesa Muta Lefonov is not allowed to eat in the same room. He should eat in a different house. But if he doesn't have another house, he doesn't have another room, so he can eat in the same room, but he should make a mechitza gevoy asorat fochim. So the mace is in one room, he's in the other room. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the dinim, that if you just hang a sheet, if the wind would be blowing outside, and the wind would blow the sheet, then it's not called a mechitza, even though the sheet is hanging inside the house. Because we determine Mechel Lamed B'fnei Roch Mitzuya not based on where you happen to put, let's say you put the sukkah in between buildings. The sukkah in my backyard is not in between all the buildings, so the wind never blows over there. So even if a person puts the mechitza in his house, he has a mishemesa mul telefon, he wants to eat, so he puts a mechitza gevayas ha'atvachem, has to be mechitza shein yochel lamed b'fnei roch mitzuya if it would have been outside. So that's what the Mechaber recommends. You should never use a sheet, or you shouldn't use a plastic sheet for the defanas, because it may be that it won't be tied down well on the bottom. Mikra din, it really is good if it's tied down on the bottom. So it's Yechol Lamed B'fnei Roch Mitzuya. But the Mechaber quotes a Psachumra, a Gzeirah from the Rishonim, that it may get loose on the bottom, and then it'll be blowing in the wind. That's a big shaila, the machlekes, the chazanish, and the classical poskim. All the poskim assume that ein ochel lamed b'fnei broch mitzuya. Let's say you have the defanos of sheets, and it's tied down on the top, tied down on the bottom, and when the wind blows, it blows in, it blows out, keeps on blowing, but it's always going to be 10 tefachim tall. It's always going to be the bottom of the sheet, it's always going to be within 3 tefachim to the ground, it's going to be lower to the ground, and it's going to be 10 tefachim tall. It's always going to have the dimensions of the defanos of the sukkah. So the classical poskim hold that it's still a problem. The mechitza that blows in the wind, by definition, is not a mechitza. Chazon Ish disagrees with everybody, and he writes, this is his style of writing, that's mistim is diri ha-poskim mashman, that's kosher. All the poskim say the fair, it's no good. Saying against, he doesn't want to say against. A lot of times when he wants to disagree, so he says, the achreinim came up. The achreinim quoted Rishonim. The achreinim came up with the chumrah, he doesn't agree. And then when he wants to give support, he'll always quote Rishonim say. His own style of writing. So the Chazon Ish thinks that that's not a problem. Means if the wind blows, and when the wind blows, so the wind is blowing the bottom of the tefanos above 3 tefachim. So it doesn't. When the wind is blowing, it's not going to have the dimensions of a tefanos. Not going to be lower to the ground. But if it's tied on the bottom, tied on the top, and the wind just blows, it bellows in and out the whole time, Chazon Ish holds that that's not a problem. The Israeli army, a lot of times, if they come to a location, and there are Shabbos late in the afternoon, they have to make a mechitza to be able to carry. They have no time to make a whole full-fledged mechitza. So they use, all the time they have big nets to trap human beings, to trap terrorists. So they take these gigantic nets and they put it on top of the tree, and it goes down to the ground, and even when the wind blows, and it blows like this, the net is so big, it's still on the ground. The bottom of the net is on the ground, and the top of the net is on top of the trees, and more than 10 tefachim tall. And they rely on the Chazon Ish, that even though the wind blows it in and out, the whole time is blowing, but it always has a dimension of a mechitza, always 10 tefachim tall. It's the same shaila by Sukkah and by Shabbos. So the classical post can say that it's not acceptable. The Gemara talks about using a big fat elephant as a doifen of the sukkah. So the Achrayim discuss a question that we have a din shofar from a behemoth tmeya shouldn't be used. The Ramah quotes a Ran. The Ran wrote a suffix, but it's good. The Ramah didn't quote the Ramah, just quotes the Ran that it's no good. Not only they need behemoth tahira for klaf to write parshias of sevitar tefillin and mezuzah, that's tashmish kedusha, but even for shofar, which is only tashmish mitzvah, it's not tashmish kedusha. Also, the Ramah quotes the Ran lahachmer that you shouldn't use a shofar. It's puzzle. Shofar from a behemoth tmeya is puzzle. Same thing a chalitza shoe. Chalitza shoe where machmer has to be leather. So machlekes hatanam where the wooden shoe is acceptable. So we paskin shochna has to be leather. So the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is quoted. Has to be or behemoth tahira. So the Mefarshim, the Aruch HaShulchan and others explain the reason for the Rabbeinu Tam is because it is halacha l'moshe mesina that the Gemara has in Perek by Mem Adlikin. Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Luhukshu, the Malachu Shamayim, Lord Behemoth Torah Bilvad. So they ask a question over here. How come you can use the fun? How can you use a big fat elephant? An elephant is a behemoth tmeya. If you say that even on Tashmish Mitzvah, you say it has to be behemoth Torah, you can't use behemoth tmeya. So why is it good for the tfanas? So the Iker part of the Sukkah is really the Tzrach. The tvanas, if you don't have tvanas, it's not kosher. But the sukkah is really the schach. So maybe you have to work out some kind of an answer. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk that the sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvasa min ha-Torah. Usually muktzah is a dimmi the Rabbanan, but the Ramban says huktzah l'mitzvasa over here by the sukkah is a real din d'araisa. Shem shachal shem shamayim alach agiga. The sukkah is referred to as a chag, just like a korban chagiga has kedusha on it, so too the sukkah has kedusha on it. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh, which part of the sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvasa min ha-Torah? Is it only the schach, or even the tvanis as well? So you got to work out an answer on this kasha. Why is an elephant good? The Gemara said, even if you have a live elephant, why is it good? Why don't you say it's possible because of Lahukshul Malach Shamaim, Lord Behematur Belvan? In the second parak of Sukkah, the Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanaim in the Mishnah. The Tana Rabbiuda is quoted as saying that if the Sukkah, the Schach of the Sukkah, is held up by the bedboards, by parts of the bed, so that's not acceptable. So why is it not acceptable is unclear in the Mishnah. So the Poshim shot perhaps in the Mishnah is, whatever the reason is, we probably shouldn't pass like Rav Yudah. Usually when you have a machlek, it's yachad v'rabim v'yasum, halacha k'rabim. Whatever Rav Yudah said, we shouldn't pass like him. So there's one of the obscure Rishonim, it's not one of the, not Rashi and Tosis or the Rambam. One of the obscure Rishonim thinks that you should pass like Rabbi Yudah over here. So it's unclear my time in the Rabbi Yudah. So the Pashab Shad Rabbi Yudah is Rabbi Yudah Lishitasa. Rabbi Yudah holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva, diras aroy is no good. So if you have the schach is not, if you have a building and you have the schach is supported by the building, that's a diras keva. The schach is supported by the bedboards. You have the beds and the boards of the bed are supporting the schach. The whole thing is pretty flimsy. So the Pashab Shad says Rabbi Yudah Lishitasa. Rabbi Yudah holds that a sukkah is only kosher if it's diras keva, and this is diras aroy. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yudah, so we shouldn't paskin like this Rabbi Yudah either. If the Gemara says Rabbi Yudah l'shitosa, so there is one opinion in the Rishonim. We really don't paskin like this, but they recommend the Shulchan Aruch to be machmir. There's a stira in Shulchan Aruch. One place it says it's good, one place it says it's no good. So it's a stira. So then I said, Kenim said the Mechaber just meant to be machmir l'chatchil, but mikra din is not a problem. The other pshat in Rabbi Yudah. That is a pashtus. It's a gzera midrabbanan. Rashi seems to hold that it's a din deraisa, but we don't accept Rashi's chumer. We assume that this whole din of mamid is a din midrabbanan according to Rabbi Yudah. They made a gzera midrabbanan. If the schach will be supported by something that's possible to use, the thing supporting the schach is possible. The schach boy, so you can't use it to be mamid the schach either. Chumra midirabbanim. Chumra midirabbanim. So let's say you have the fanas, plastic boards. You bought a sukkah, plastic boards with metal frames. So that's not gedulei karka. The metal is not gedulei karka. And the plastic is synthetic material. It's not, nothing here is gedulei karka. So if the schach is resting on the tfanas of the sukkah, it's no good. That's mamid. So that's what the Chazanish assumed. That's what many assumed, that that's called mamid. They quoted the name of Moshe Feinstein. He didn't think that that's a problem on mamid. The schach always sits on the tfanas. What kind of mamid? That's not a shayla mamid. Mamid is if the schach is supported by the bedboards, and the bedboards are not the tfanas of the sukkah. There are other things serving as tfanas. But if the tfanas of the sukkah is supporting the schach, so Moshe is quoted as having said that he doesn't think that that's an issue of mamid.
So where Moshe's quoted saying that? Who quotes
Moshe? I'll show you afterwards. I have the sefer here. Yeah. So the what people usually do, if you have plastic boards for the fanas, plastic walls, or metal walls, metal frame, so what they do is they put some long wooden beams, four long wooden beams on the four sides of the sukkah, the rectangular shape of the sukkah. Then they put the schach kosher on top of that. Based on the Ramban and the Melchamas, the Mogen Avraham quotes the Ramban and the Melchamas, that the mamid, that whenever goes around. Only if the schach posel is directly mamid the schach. If mamid the mamid, then it doesn't bother me. So the Chazanish tainid that that's not, didn't solve the problem. He said that's not called mamid the mamid. Mamid the mamid means a different thing. He says, if the karka, whenever you have, let's say you have wooden walls, you have wooden walls for the sukkah. Years ago, every sukkah had wooden doors, wooden walls around it. So, but wooden walls are being supported by the karka, and the karka is no good for schach. Rabban says, no, the karka, that's mamid the mamid, only the thing that's supporting the schach. So the people, so the Mogen Avraham quotes that. So the classical Mishnah Berurah says, you put four wooden beams on the four sides of the sukkah, and then you put the schach on top of the wooden beams, so that's mamid the mamid. So the Chazanish thinks that that's not correct. He disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah. He said, that's not mamid the mamid. It's all thick schach. Let's say you have 10 inches thick of schach. Let's say you have the fanus of a sukkah that's a metal frame sukkah or a plastic walls. So the defanas apostle l'sachech boy. But you have 10 inches thick of schach. They say that the bottom, you don't need 10 inches thick. So say the top 5 inches are schach and the bottom 5 inches are mamid the schach and the walls and the plastic and the metal walls are mamid the mamid. So the Chazon said, that's a joke. It's all schach. All the 10 inches thick are all schach. They said the same over here. You put four wooden beams on the frame, on the four sides, on the rectangular shape of the sukkah. Then you put schach on top. Why did you split over here? You say, the schach is the stuff on top. And the four wooden beams are supporting the schach. So the metal frame of the sukkah is a mamid the mamid. It's supporting the wooden beams, which in turn are supporting the schach. What are you talking about, the Chazanish says? The wooden beams with the schach is all schach. That's like Marshal Mahadava Daima. If you have 10 inches thick of schach, you can arbitrarily say the bottom 5 inches are supporting the upper 5 inches. The upper 5 inches are the schach. All the 10 inches are the schach. So the Chazanish says the whole thing is all a chumrim. Ikra din mamid is not a psul. We're just talking about lachatchila, but he says you haven't solved the problem for lachatchila purposes if you put the wooden beams there. And they quote Rav Moshe as saying he didn't think that there was a problem at all. So some people spend a fortune of money on this issue. Different, Baruch Hashem, Elu Elu, a lot of different opinions. The din is that you have to have, the Mishnah says you have to have tzilosa merubim mechamosai. If you don't have enough schach and there's more sunshine coming in than there is shade, so then it's no good. That's a psul min haTorah. So the Gemara has a discussion. What if you have schach? You have a mat for schach, let's say, and you see that the holes are less than 50%. It's tzilasim ruben from the perspective of the schach. It's tzilasim ruben mechamasa. When the sun is shining, so the sun rays spread out. So the schach is very high, so that when the sun shines in, when you're sitting on the ground level below the schach, there ain't going to be any shade at all. There's not going to be any shade. On the ground, it's chamasa meruba, but on the schach, it's tilosa meruba. So there's a problematic Aruch HaShulchan who says that you measure by the karka. It's against the Gemara, and the Gemara of the favor. So you don't measure by the karka, you measure by the schach. I was once sitting at a Malava Malka next to someone, and I was telling him that about this Aruch HaShulchan. So he told me, yeah, he heard from Malay Yashiv that it's wrong. Aruch HaShulchan made a mistake. On this Aruch HaShulchan. It's against the Gemara. Pashu Pshat, it's against the Gemara. Do you have to put the schach l'shem mitzvah? So b'shamai have a machlekes with b'shilo. Shamai say that the schach must be placed l'shem mitzvah. And Mesilla disagree, it's enough if you put it l'shem tzel. It doesn't have to be l'shem mitzvah. There is a Shitas HaRashba in Beitza Daf Lamed. I don't know why the Mishneh Berurah quotes it from the, not from the Rashba on Beitza, he quotes it, what's the Rashba's Beitza on Hilchas Mukta? Avodas HaKadosh, yeah. So he quotes it from the Rashba, on Avodas HaKadosh. I don't know why. That's an esoteric source. He could have quoted from the Rashba on Beitza Daf Lamed. The Rashba learns Pshat and Beis Hillel that they agree with Beis Shammai, that it only be Chal Shem Shammai Mala Sukkah if the Sukkah was put up L'Shem Mitzvah. But whereas Beis Shammai hold, if the Sukkah wasn't put up L'Shem Mitzvah, it won't be Mukta L'Mitzvah, so it won't be Chal Shem Shammai, so in the Mele, it's not kosher. It's only a kosher of Sukkah if it's going to be Chal Shem Shammai Mala Sukkah. So the Beis Hillel say there are two kinds of Sukkahs. There's a holy Sukkah, Chal Shem Shammai with Kedusha Sukkah, and there's a secular Sukkah. There's a kosher sukkah that doesn't have kedusha sukkah. Won't be chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. But according, even Beis Hillel would agree to Beis Shammai that there is a maila. If you put this tzel up, if you put this chach up l'shem mitzvah, then and only then will it be chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. The Pashta says we don't hold like that. Pashta says that we paskin like in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Tosfos. There's a machlekes Tosfos in the Ramban. What if a person sits in a sukkah and he has a mind, he doesn't want it to be Chal Shem Shammai, ala sukkah. He plans to take down the schach and to use it. In the middle of Chol HaMoed, he wants to take down and use it for his own purposes. For something else. He's going to make a bonfire, he's going to make a barbecue, and he wants to use the schach to burn it. So Tosfos says you can't do that. Even if you have in mind that you don't want it to be hooked to the mitzvah, so it becomes hooked to the mitzvah bal korchoi. Once you sit in the sukkah, if you put up a sukkah, you never sit in the sukkah. But that says in Shulchan Aruch that we paskan hazman ala milsehi. That's machlekes Abai v'Rav in the middle of Sanhedrin around Daf Mem Zayin. So we paskan like Rav. That's not from the Al Kagam. We paskan like Rav. In hazman ala milsehi, I designated it l'shem sukkah, but I never sat in it. I have a lulav in an esrig, and I never used it to shake it for the mitzvah. So it's not hooked to the mitzvah. So it's not chal shem shemaim. But if I do sit in the sukkah, then it's chal shem shemaim bal korchi. And the Ramban disagrees. The Rashba follows in the footsteps of the Ramban. He goes with the Ramban. Then it's not Chal Shem Shemayim Bal Korcho Shalot. So he adds on, it has to be, it's only going to be Chal Shem Shemayim if you put up the Tzchach L'Shem Mitzvah. That's how the Rashba learns. And both Bisham and Beis Hillel hold like that. So there's a Hidur L'Hatchil, even according to Beis Hillel, to have the Tzchach put up L'Shem Mitzvah. Nafkamina here, I think in Yeshiva, they usually have a nochri put up to schach, unless Moshe the plumber gets involved. He usually gets involved every year. He tells them they're not allowed to touch the schach. They have to have a Jew put it up. Okay, so he does everybody a service. He puts up the schach l'shem mitzvah. But if you have a nochri put it up, so then is that the sukkah is kosher. But according to the Rashba, it's not going to be chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. Years ago, the local conservative rabbi from the conservative temple retired. Rabbi Hank Shaw, he was a nice fellow. He was a European. And they got a young whippersnapper from the Jewish Theological Seminary who was an American. And the Chazan thought that the new rabbi was a sheikitz. The old rabbi spoke Yiddish, he was a European. The new rabbi was a real conservative rabbi. So he came on Sukkot, he came to my father to ask a shaila. what's the din? The sukkah fell down. The shul sukkah fell down. And the new rabbi can paskin that the goy can put it back up again. So my father asked the chazan, where is the sukkah? So he tells him, it's on the bima, in the shul. You have a sukkah on the bima, in the shul. And the chazan makes kiddush. After Meirev on the first night. So my father told him the sukkah is no good. If it's built inside, it's no good. So the chazan says, well, let's forget about that. It's inside. It says in the Mishnah, if you put a sukkah tachas ilan, it's a sukkah b'tach habayis, that it's no good. That's a double portion, it's no good. Chazan says, so let's forget about that. But is it good if a goy puts it up? Father said, yeah, the Gemara says, sukkah is gamach rakvash, that portion is sukkah. He was very upset. He wanted to show the Balabatim that the new rabbi is a shegetz. He does know the ABC of Hilchas. But that doesn't pass. Yeah, there is a din that the schach has to be put up, though, the shem tzil. The Gemara has, let's say, a person has a bundle of twigs and he puts it on as a frame that's there while Yilung puts it up to dry out in the sun. And then it comes to sukkah, so he says, okay, he'll leave the twigs there and he'll sit underneath it, l'shem sukkah. So that's a case of tasav l'amen osid. The schach was not put up l'shem tzil, so that's not kosher. There's a discussion in the Rishayim, in the Mordechai quotes, of what if you have, you put schach on top of the frame of the sukkah, and then it started to rain, so you covered over the top of the sukkah with a roof. And then it stops raining, so you take off the roof. So is it now tasav l'amen ha'asui or not? Because now you are machshir the sukkah by removing the plastic cover on top of the sukkah. You weren't machshir the sukkah by putting up the schach. So there is an opinion that it's not no good, and you have to pick up every single piece of schach and put it down again. The accepted opinion is not like that. The accepted opinion is that if milchatchila, when the schach was put up initially, it was open. If you built the sukkah under a tree, if you put the schach on top of the sukkah under a tree and the tree made all the shade, then you remove the tree, then you break off the branches later. That's not a problem of tasa laman asa, because when you put the schach, it wasn't kosher. But over here, if you put the schach on and it's clear, there's no tree on top. And then later on, when it starts to rain, then you put the hood on, then you put the lid on, and then you take it off. So since Tchilos Anochas HaSchach was Behechsher, so that's okay. So that's, we paskan that that case would not be Tasav Lamin Osir. If Tchilos Anochas HaSchach was Behechsher, it wouldn't pose a problem. Yeah, when one of my daughters got married in Eretz Yisrael, so punkt that sukkah, it was raining. Very rare. It was raining then. I remember I told a story that on the second day of Sukkot, the phone was ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing, so we didn't answer the phone, but also it was Yontif. So then half an hour later, somebody rings the doorbell, so he answered the door. So he says, oh, you're home, so why don't you answer the telephone? So I said, because by us is Yontif Sheni. Oh, didn't occur to him, Yontif Sheni. So he says, he was calling because he said that Karen Biavna always has the annual dinner. The fundraising dinner in Eretz Yisrael is always the second night of Chol HaMoed, Sukkos. So they want to know whether they should set up and they expected pouring rain at night. So they want to know whether they should set up in the sukkah or they should set up in the hotel. In the sukkah of the hotel, in the hotel. So I said, there are no rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. He said, the rabbis I saw never get to Shah, never rains on Sukkot. So they need a rabbi from Chutz La'aretz. A joke? I don't know. So I said, if they expected to pour. So he said, he set up in the hotel. That night there wasn't Shaykh. It was pouring the whole night. So no Shaylah. But they thought I have Ruach HaKodesh, I'm going to predict whether it's going to rain. So that Sukkot talk, that Sukkot, a lot of the people who have apartments in hotels had, let's say, a sukkah on the seventh floor, on a landing over there, and the wind was blowing so much, so a lot of the schach from the lower sukkahs on the ground level or on the second floor, the schach fell on the ground, and the schach from the seventh floor fell on top of exactly on top of the sukkah on the second floor. So some of the rabbanim said it's kosher because tchilas anochas haschach was behechsher. So even though later on, now it's Tasav Laman Asa, but since the Lechatchila, they put it on top of the kosher sukkah, it's good. I thought it's absurd there. I said, Vaday, no good. Put it on top of the sukkah on the seventh floor. Now it falls on top of the sukkah on the second floor. It's not shach that it should be good. Remember, once we were in Bergenfield for sukkahs, so it was pouring at this the first day of sukkahs, so all the schach was not tied down to the sukkah, all the schach fell on the ground. Then Rabbi Neuberger had the nochri from the shul go around to everyone's home and pick up the schach and put it back on top of the sukkah. Yeah. The din is that the Mishnah said the schach has to be within three tvachim to the tvanis. I live 24 Bennett. From 44 Bennett, there are a lot of Jewish people there. So they have two sukkahs. So I remember one year, almost everybody was gone away, so they didn't need so many people sitting in the two sukkahs. So when they put the schach, they didn't put the schach over the whole sukkah, they just put it in the middle of the sukkah. And the schach was not within three tefachim to the tefanis, and the whole sukkah was not kosher. You have to have schach has to be within three tefachim to the tefanis. If it's not love to the tefanis, it's not kosher. So they just rearrange the schach. Easy to solve the problem. So the Mishnah has a din of doif and akuma. The Gemara says good lovud and doif and akuma. The Gemara says shiurin chatzitza and mechitza na halacha Moshe Mesinai. So which aspect of mechitza is halacha Moshe Mesinai? So one opinion in the Gemara is that the din that it has to be 10 tefachim tall. And the other Gemara says, no, that you can figure out from the psukim. You don't need halacha Moshe Mesinai for that. So what is the halacha Moshe Mesinai mechitza? Gemara says, good, lovud and doif and akuma. So this is lovud within three tefachim is mitzuref. And then doif and akuma is an important din. A lot of sukkahs have doif and akuma. Let's say you have a sukkah, and the first bit of the sukkah has... There's concrete protruding from the roof. Let's have a sukkah over here, and the concrete is sticking out from the roof a foot or two. So you can't sit under the schach under the concrete, because that's possible. The concrete is making tzel. So the schach that's tachas the concrete, or if you have a tree that covers half of the sukkah, so you can't sit under that part. So it's not good. So if the whole area, which is tachas the concrete is not gedul lekarka, tachas the tree is mechuba lekarka, so that's pasul esachich bo. So if that whole area is less than dalar amas away from the wall, dalar amas, not dalar tvachim, dalar amas a lot more than six times as much as dalar tvachim. So you say, up until dalar amas, you say, I consider it as if doif and akuma. So if the tfanas go up and they bend over. So that has to be, a lot of times you have that. You can't sit at the edge of the sukkah because there's concrete protruding and because there's chach posel above it. And but if it's dalar amas or less, then you say doif and akuma. There's a ritzy hotel in Eretz Yisrael. I remember we once were invited to eat with relatives of mine. And so they have the main sukkah where everybody eats is very questionable. I remember I asked, I saw Rabbi Rabbi Simcha Cook. There was a bar mitzvah that sukkah, so I saw Rabbi Simcha Cook by the bar mitzvah. So I asked him, when the Rabbanut gives a hechshir on the hotel, does it cover only the food? Or does it also cover the sukkah, that the sukkah is kosher? So he said, oi, 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 he's not so sure about the food. Not so sure about the food. This sukkah, I remember many rabbanim came to visit my relative, because he supports a lot of institutions in Eretz Yisrael. So I asked him, is this sukkah kosher? They said, of course not. What do you mean, of course not? So why don't you tell all the people, they can't be yotzei. What they have is, they have concrete, the building is bricks, whatever concrete, and then the concrete have fancy designs, so the concrete is protruding all over the place, less than dalar amas. Okay, less than dalar amas. And then in the middle, the concrete is very high, maybe 10 feet tall, the protrusions, and then the sukkah is 8 feet tall. Okay, somebody is 7 feet tall, he shouldn't bump his head. Okay, so the schach is 8 feet tall above the ground. So the schach doesn't reach the walls. The schach only The schach reaches the point where you have the concrete then. So the concrete is a few feet higher then. So you have a doifer akuma of the concrete sticking up, but it's not, the schach is not on the same level where the concrete is. The schach is further down. So if everything would be schach kosher, there would be schach kosher on top, schach kosher on the bottom. So then the Gemara has a din of chovet rami. The Gemara says, sukkah hamaduv lelis. If you have the schach is on, not on the same level, some of the schach is higher than the other schach. So if it's within three tvachim to each other, love it is considered as if it's one sheet. What if it's not within three tvachim? What if you have schach kosher over here and schach kosher over here? And if you would move everything on the same level, it would be touching. Everything would be a hemshach. The Gemara said that's halacha Moshe Mesina, that the chovet rami is good. Yeah, but here they're saying chovet rami to be mitzarev a doifan akuma to the schach. That doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. If the doifan, the tfanas go up like this, and then the concrete goes like this, so how is it good? The schach is not going to be within three tvachim to the walls. So the Gemara says, doifan akuma, I consider the concrete that's sticking out as if it's a hemshach of the wall. So that's not schach, that's a wall. Chovet rami is if that's schach and that's schach, that's a roof. It's a din in Tuma also, in Tuma Sameis. And Tuma Sameis also a din like that. Let's say, I remember once there's a hospital in Los Angeles, the big Jewish hospital, I forgot what it's called already. So before they corrected it, it wasn't possible to enter the hospital without becoming Tuma Sameis. Because the hospital had a tall building. The hospital had a protrusion over the roof around the whole building. And part of the protrusion went directly above the exit from the morgue. So there's always, it's a big hospital, there's always a mace in the morgue. They're always opening up the morgue at some time or another. It's going to be, even if they don't open it up, it's going to be a sof tuma lotzeis. There's always a mace there. So the tuma coming out from the morgue goes around the whole building, so it wasn't shy for anyone to acquaint and can't even enter the building at all. And then even the parking lot, which was next to it, was a chovet rami, because the din of chovet rami doesn't only apply to schach, if you have schach on different levels, not within lover to each other. If this is a tefach on tefach, so they say chovet rami, it's mitzvah with the schach below, so it's true also by tumas oil of a mace. If you have a roof over here and a roof over here, this is a roof over the hospital, and this is protruding from the hospital. This is a roof over the parking lot, and the two are one on top of the other, partially one on top of the other. Then the din is chovet rami, even though it's many, many feet in between them. This is on top of the roof, and this is on top of the parking lot on the ground level. Then you say chovet rami, it's a hemshach. Yeah, but over here, this is a doifan akuma. It's considered a doifan. It's not considered a roof. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that this is kosher. They're mashgichim, made up their mind. They made up their own din that it's kosher. It's very questionable. I don't think it's kosher. The Mishnah has a din that one is mitztairis patam and asuka. There are two kinds of mitztairis. So one mitztairis is if it's raining, and if it would be raining in his house like that, he wouldn't eat in the dining room. He would eat in the bedroom. So if it's raining so much that it's so uncomfortable, if it'll be in his house, he wouldn't eat in the dining room. So then you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Then there's another mitzvah potam in our sukkah. Let's say the electric lights didn't go on in my sukkah. The candles went out. The candles blew out or something. I'm not going to enjoy eating in the sukkah. It's like raining. So I have to walk to my friend's sukkah. My friend's sukkah is an hour's walk away. I'm going to have to walk an hour there and an hour back. So that's also called mitztar potam and asukah. There's a difference between the two mitztars. If I'm going to sit in the rain, I'm going to sit in the dark, and I'm going to eat, and I can't see what I'm eating, and I'm getting all sopping wet. You can't say a bracha over there because the imam is not yotze the mitzvah. You tell me I'm not mechuyev to walk an hour to someone else's sukkah, to my friend's sukkah, to shnara by him and Neil. I'm not mechuyev to because mitztar, I'll be embarrassed. And it's a long walk, my legs hurt, whatever. But if I do walk there and then I do eat in the sukkah, so then you do say a bracha. He's not being mitzar when he's in his mitzvah. Hachana to get to the sukkah is mitzar. So you're not mechuyev to go be mitzar in order to get to the sukkah. But once you walk to the sukkah, then you don't say he's not mitzar when he's sitting in the sukkah. the first night of Sukkot, so there's a machlekes rishonim about what about the mitzvah of the raining. If it's going to take him 3 hours to walk to the other guy's sukkah, he doesn't have a sukkah in his neighborhood. A chacham, you got to make a sukkah on every yom tov. The chacham enters into sukkah, doesn't have any plan where he's going to eat. So he's going to have to walk 3 hours. So that's the din, you have to walk 3 hours in order to... What if you don't have a pair of tefillin? So you have to walk 3 hours to get a pair of tefillin, to lay tefillin on a weekday. So you have to walk 3 hours to get to the sukkah. But if it's raining in the sukkah on the first night of sukkah, so that's a big machlekes harishonim. So the psak on Shulchan Aruch is, the way we assume is, that you have to, we're machmer, it's a shayla on a din d'oraisa, so we're machmer that you should eat a kezayis of challah in the sukkah without saying the bracha leishe basukkah. Some of the rishonim said you say bracha leishe basukkah, we don't pass like that. You eat the kezayis, you start the meal and you make kiddush, and then you eat a kezayis, and then you go into the house. And Shulchan Aruch says you should wait a little bit. So they quote in the name of Rav Moshe, the same sefer, they quote about Moshe's opinion about Mamid. So they quote, the Rav Moshe said, the first night of Sukkot, you should wait 2 hours, up until 2 hours, to see if it's going to stop. And if it doesn't stop in 2 hours, then you're not mechuyev to wait till Chatzos. And Shulchan Aruch, they have an opinion, you should wait till Chatzos. So we don't wait so long. You wait 2 hours, and if it's still raining, so you make kiddush and you eat a kezayis, and then you finish eating in the house. And the second night of Sukkot, Sarah Moshe was mekel, you only have to wait 20 minutes. If you waited already 20 minutes, so then shayin genuk for the second night is only with the Rabbanim. Speaking of the second night, in all of the Sidurim and all the Machzorim, they say that on the second night of Sukkot, you rearrange the brachas. Instead of saying first Leisha Basuk and Shachyano last, you should first say Shachyano, you say Kiddush, Berka Gofen, Kiddush, then you say Shachyano, then you say Leisha Basuka last. So most of the Lithuanian Poskim don't agree with that. Most of the Litvish Poskim from the last 200 years, they all say the second night you say the same as the first night. You don't... The Balabatim all say, second night you reverse the Seder, it's an exotic opinion. Shulchan Aruch quotes this exotic opinion. There's a Gemara in the last daf in Sukkah, the very end of Sukkah. So the Gemara says, you say Shachyano, last. Say Shachyano, last. So some of the Rishonim came up with a whole fantastic interpretation. Why? And they gave a reason why the second night of Sukkah should be different. And the Pashim Pshat in Gemara is not like them, without the whole exotic Pshat. This is even the second night. You say Shachyanu, last in the second day of Sukkot when you shake a lulav, the common practice is that you don't say Shachyanu, and that's a big problem. Why? We don't fully understand why on the second day of Rosh Hashanah there's a machlekes whether you say Shachyanu when you blow shofar, because it's a Yom Arichta. So in Broyers right over here, they follow the Mechaber, they follow all. Whenever there's a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, they follow the Sfardish Ipsak. Whenever there are two Haftaris, they say the Haftar that the Sfardim have. On Mikra Megillah in the morning, they don't say Shachyanu, like the Mechaber. They only say Shachyanu and Mikra Megillah at night. So the second day, Rosh Hashanah, they don't say Shachyanu on Shofar, unless the first day was Shabbos. So you're only blowing Shofar for the first time on the second day. Yeah, but our practice is that we say Shachyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, even though it's a Yom Arichta. He's misveka the Yom. You say Shachyanu on the second day. So why shouldn't you say Shachyanu? Here it's not even Yom Arichta. Why shouldn't you say Shachyanu over here on the second day of Sukkot on the Tilas Lulav? So this whole exotic, these Rishonim have a whole exotic interpretation. The Pashtus is we don't follow their opinion. As far as Kiddush on the second night, we don't reverse the Seder. So why don't we say Shachyanu when we shake the lulav on the second day? So that's a big question. It's very unclear, but that's the common practice, that we don't say Shachyanu on the Tilas Lulav on the second day of Sukkot. Yeah. The Hasidim have a practice, they don't sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And the way we have it in the Gemara, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara has three different opinions. What do you do on Shmini Atzeres? In Chutzalaret. So one opinion is that you don't sit in Sukkah at all. One opinion is you sit in Sukkah with a bracha. It's a Sveka di Yoma. Maybe it's Hashanah Rabbah. Sveka di Yoma of Hashanah Rabbah. And then the way we have the Gemara, it says in Agirsa, the Hilchasa, he passed like the third opinion. You have to sit in the sukkah, but you don't say the bracha leshivas sukkah. And the Rishonim gave a different explanation of what that compromise is based on. Why do you sit in the sukkah and you don't say a bracha leshivas sukkah? So the Hasidim don't sit in the sukkah. So that's a big problem. So the Korban Nisanul was a yekke who converted to become a chassid. The Soif Yomav, he converted to become a chassid. So the Korban Nisanul is on the bottom. His name is Weil. Weil is a German name. Real yekke. But he became a chassid b'Soif Yomav. He converted. So in the end of a sukkah, he gives a whole yishuv for the chassidish and minig, why they're not against the Gemara. So he says, you sit in the sukkah, but you don't say a bracha. You only sit in the sukkah if it's not obvious that you're in violation of Baltosif. You're not supposed to sit in the sukkah 8 days. You're only supposed to sit in the sukkah 7 days. So the weather is nice anyway, so it's nice. A goyim will be sitting outside, so we should sit also. If you say a bracha leishem basukah, so then it'll be obvious that you're sitting l'shem sukkah. If you don't say a bracha, it's not obvious. But we live in Medina Sakarais. We live in areas where it's so cold. Just sitting in the sukkah is going to be... I plan to go to Los Angeles for sukkahs. It's like summertime all the time there. Never rains, never cold. So according to the Korban Nisanul, the Chassidim would also sit in sukkah if you're in Los Angeles. The only time they don't sit in sukkah is if you're in the Medina Sakaris, if you're in Germany, where they're always cold all year long. They're cold. So sitting in sukkah, which Meshuggah is going to sit in sukkah? Obviously the Shem Mitzvah. So that's why it's a chashash of Bal Tosef. That's why the Korban Nisanul defends the Chassidish Minig. So then it depends how the weather is. Others claim to defend the Chassidish Minig. Every so often there's a Tosfos. Tosfos will say that this line wasn't written by the Ravina Ravashi. It's not part of the Gemara. It was added from the Bahag. So some claim that maybe this line, Hilchasam, Esvi Asfinan, Bruchelam Rachinan, maybe this was added from the Bahag. Maybe it wasn't really in the text of the Gemara. So we should check. Now they have websites where they have every Shina Girsa in the world. So we should check. Is there such a Shina Girsa that doesn't have that line in the Gemara? I don't know. Gotta take a look. Okay, on Sukkot we have a big mitzvah to shake the Dalad Minim. The Dalad Minim are Me'akfim Zezef. You don't have all four. There's no partial credit over here. You have to have all four. There is a Machlokes Hatanaim. Do you really need three Hadassim and two Aravos? Or no? So Rav Soloveitchik used to joke. He said, some say Al Pi Kabbalah that you need three Hadassim and two Aravos. Three and two is five, and one Esrog and one Lulav is seven. Keneged the seven Spheres. But they say Rabbi Akiva was the big Mekubal. And Rabbi Akiva says, Keshem She'esrog Echad, Lulav Echad, Kach Hadas Echas, and Arava Achas. It's only four. So what happened to the Spheres? Okay. So it's a shaila how we paskin. What if you only have one kosher hadas? You don't have three kosher hadasim. You have to have hadasim, have to be mishaloshim. What if you only have one kosher arava? You don't have two. Do you say a bracha or not? So it's a shaila and din. So you should shake it without a bracha, because that's a machlekes hatanayim and a shaila and the rishayim. How we paskin? The sfeika adina, how you paskin. The Gemara says that a person should hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, because the lulav has with it the hadasim on the arava, so you have three quarters of the mitzvah in the right hand and only one quarter of the mitzvah in the left hand. What if a person is a lefty? So should he switch? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. How serious is the machlokes? So the Magen Avraham says, very serious, because the Magen Avraham didn't have a Vilna Shas. I don't know how. He had a Rabbeinu Hananel. On Sukkah, we have in the Vilna Shas, they printed Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the page. Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel. I thought that was discovered by the Vilna publishers. He quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. The Gemara says, if hafocha, you're not yoytze. So hafocha, we usually learn, if you hold the pitum down, if you hold the esrog upside down, you hold the lulav upside down, you're not yoytze, because you have to hold kederach kedi losam. Rabbeinu Hananel holds hafocha means if you hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, you're not yoytze. Remember when I was in high school, I used to walk from my home, take the bus and come to the yeshiva. So on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, my father davened in shul. My father was a rabbi in the shul. When he came home, he gave me the dal minyan, and I would go by the bus, come to the yeshiva, and daven in yeshiva on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So every morning when I would go to take the bus to go to yeshiva, I lived in the Bronx then, so there would be a person hanging out the window and said good morning to me every morning. I thought he was an ochri. And Sukkos, he waves to me, he wants to be yotze the lulav and the esrog. I was surprised, I didn't think he was Jewish. So I give him the lulav and the esrog on Chol HaMoed, and he puts the lulav in his left hand and the esrog in the right hand. So I said, no, I beg your pardon, don't tell me. He knows better. What are you telling me? He's old enough to be my grandfather. So he says the bracha, and then he switches hands. That's how Rabbeinu Hanana learns the Pshat and the Gemara. He was a Sfardi. He didn't look Jewish because he was a Sfardi. He looked like a Nachri. So he said, that was his meaning. Hafacha lo yotza means if you hold the esrig in the wrong hand and the lulav in the wrong hand, that was oiva las yotza. He held the esrig in the right hand and the lulav in the left hand. He said the bracha. Then after he said the bracha, then he switched hands. So the Magen Avraham quotes this, Rabbeinu Chanana, if you hold it in the wrong hand, you're not yotze. So it's a machlekes harishainim. If a person is a lefty, which hand he should hold the lulav and the esrog in? So the poskim recommend he should taka b'noitel twice. He should do it once. The normal sheet is he holds the becher in the left hand. Everybody else, a righty holds the, when you say kiddush, a righty holds the kiddush cup in his right hand. A lefty holds the kiddush cup in his left hand because the left hand is more important by him. So the pashtus is that he should hold the lulav in the left hand because the lulav has three quarters in the mitzvah. But because there's another sheet of fakert, so after he already does all in anoim, then he should repeat everything in the other direction, holding the lulav in the right hand. The ikar sheet is that he should hold the lulav in the left hand, but it should be choshes for the other sheet. What if you hold both in the same hand? A lot of times we do that when you say halal, when you go in anoim. So when you go Hoshainas. So you have to hold them both in the same hand. How can you hold the siddur? So the Beis Yosef quotes, and the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Beis Yosef, that there is an opinion in the Rishonim that you're not yotze if you hold both in the same hand. That's why there was an opinion if you hold it in the wrong hand, Rabbeinu Chananel Shita, if you hold it in the wrong hand, you're not yotze. You have to hold dafke, the esrog and the lulav in two different hands. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rakanti, that he had a dream. Achochem had a dream that someone was writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he wrote Yud Kei Vav, and then he left a long space, and he writes Hey at the end of the line. I kept on writing like Yud Kei Vav, and Hey all over the end of the line. He woke up and he didn't know what to make of the dream. So then he realized that in showing him in Hashemayim, there was someone in Shul on Sukkos who was shaking the lulav and asking, held the lulav in the right hand, Esrog in the left hand, but he didn't put the two hands together. He held the two things in the two different hands far apart from each other. So the three, the lulav and the hadasim and the aravos, represents Yud Kei Vav, and the esrog represents the hay, and you're supposed to hold them together. But also, you got to hold them too. That's what they quote. They quote this, that I think the Taz quotes this from the Beis Yosef of Hashem, the Rakanti. So you should hold them in two different hands, but hold them near each other. You have to hold the siddur, it's a problem. More correct is you should hold it in two different hands. Rabbi Gerelich told us that when he learned by Rav Dovla Soloveitchik, so they only had, every balabas didn't have his own dalet minim. The shul paid for one set for the chazan and one set for the rabbi. That was it. They didn't have more than two sets. Not like now. Everybody has their own dalet minim. So he said Rav Dovla had someone walk in front of the chazan backwards holding a siddur. So the chazan can hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. He didn't have to hold the siddur, because he had someone walking in front of him holding the siddur to say the hoshainus. Yeah, if you only have one person who has a lulav and esrog, you can have someone walk in front of him like this. If you have 100 people walking around, it's a little difficult there. But that's more correct is one should try to arrange in such a way to hold the lulav and esrog in two different hands, even when you say hello, and even when you go with the hoshainus. The din of keder kedilosim is learned out from the pasuk atzi shitim omdim. Omdim means keder kedilosim. They made boards for the karshei hamishkan, so the boards were not sideways and the boards were not upside down. It had to be keder kedilosim. So even though the whole institution of the karshei hamishkan is only hayro asho, it's not a din l'deiros. And the Gemara has a klal l'deiros mishol loy alfina. The Gemara in the end of Zohar has, you can't learn out. You can learn out all the dinim learn midinecha lachavera mamatzinim dinyanav. He learn adinim from dinim that are lederes, from other dinim that are lederes. But there's something as I was sure you can't learn that. So I don't know why the Gemara learns that from that pasuk. Any mitzvah that you use a natural item has to be gederach gedilosam. The Achranim work on the kasha. The schach has to be gedule karka. So why don't we insist that the schach has to be gedach gedilosam? That would be quite a trick. You got schach, usually you have branches of wood, so you're going to have gedach gedilosam. It's not going to cover too much space. Well, let's say when you bring bikur into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring fruits that grew from the ground, original fruits. So you have to hold, all the fruits have to be gedar kedilosam. If you have it upside down, you're not yotzei. The mitzvah of bikurim. How come it's only by dalad minim? The Gemara says, kol ha-mitzvah is kulam. You're only yotzei gedar kedilosam. What about tzchach and what about bikurim? It's a problem. But that's the mocha. The Gemara learns it out. Years ago, there used to be a problem with hadasim. They would have, you would buy dalad minim together and they would stick in the hadasim upside down. Now, I never saw that anybody has the hadasim upside down. I don't know why it was ever a problem, but that's what they write about. They would stick in the hadasim upside down. If the essay grows without a pittim, so it's kosher. The Gemara said that's not a problem. But if it had a pittim, and pittim are broken off, so that's no good. So that's a machlokes. So Rishonim quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Why is it no good? Is it because of chaser or is it because of hadar? What's the difference? Puzzle is puzzle. The difference is, what about after the first 2 days of yontav? The din of chaser only applies on the first 2 days. Well, lekachtem lekicha tama is only the first 2 days. First day minatora, second day sveka diyamim midirabbanan. But the rest of sukkahs, the Gemara says chaser doesn't puzzle. Let's say you have an esrig and you cut off a little bit from the esrig, so it's kosher. If you cut off 90% of the esrog, you're only holding 10% of the esrog. That's not chaser. There's nothing there. But if a little bit of the esrog was cut off, so that's okay. So if the nitlo hapitim is possible because of chaser, then on chalamoid, then it would be okay. But if it's possible because of hadar, so the Ashkenazim are machmer hadar for all the days of Sukkot. So the Mishnah Berurah always says lechumra. So he writes over here also lechumra. The Mishnah says that the hadasim and haravos have to be 3 tefachim tall, and the lulav has to be 3 tefachim tall plus kedela nanea, a 4th tefach kedela nanea. Either din is neinua is not miakev. The Gemara says ben agbe and ofikbe. When you pick up the dalam mini, if you didn't do neinua, you yotze the mitzvah. So yeah, you yotze the mitzvah, but there's lachatchila deraisa. The achrenim say. Would appear that it's a lachatchila deraisa to do nanuim. So that lachatchila requires that you need an extra tefach. That's lihikuva. If the lulav doesn't have dalad tefachim, even though it has the basic gimel tefachim, the extra tefach is kedela nanea, so the lulav will not be kosher. You have to be able to do nanuim. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran on the Rif, on that Gemara in Sukkah, that it's not enough that the lulav. Pashup pshat is there's a minimum size for the hadasim and harav is 3 tefachim. The minimum size for the lulav has to be 4 tefachim. So the Ran adds on. No. A lot of times you have harabas, a lot of times the harabas are much taller than the hadasim. Every year. So they quote in the name of Rashi, Talmid Rashi, quote the name of Rashi, if you hold the lulav in such a way that the harabas are taller than the hadasim, you're not even Yotze B'riyevet. So he says, Pile, Pilon, how can it be? You're not Yotze B'riyevet. We pass on Yotze if you pick up the Zeh HaZeh. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Rama. If you pick up the Lulav and you put it down, pick up the Esrog and you put it down, pick up the Aravos and you pick up the Hadassim, Zeh HaZeh, you Yotze. So how can you say that if you hold them all together, but the Hadassim happen to be, the Aravos happen to be higher, the top of the Aravos is higher than the top of the Hadassim? How can you say you're not Yotze? Appella, so you should be careful about that. Usually, if you don't do anything about it, the Arabas will always be taller than the Hadas. I think the Masham, they quote the Masham, gave, he doesn't understand where Rashi got it from. He understands why. He understands where he got it from, but he doesn't understand. It says that The Aravas are supposed to be this, look like a lips, and the Adasim look like eyes. So the lips are lower down than the eyes. So he understands where Rashi got it from. The lips and the eyes, a normal person has the eyes higher up than the lips. But just because the Medrash says it looks like the eyes, that's why it's possible to have it. How can it be? If you pick up Zachazei, I'd say. So he says maybe he understands the Kavana, that the Hadassim represent Tzadikim. Hadassim represent the Tzadikim. And the Arabs represent the Embo Lo Tam Velo Ereach. Has no Torah, has no mitzvahs. So if you have the Roshas higher up than the Tzadik, so that's not good. But this is all Agaritas. It's all Midrashim. So you're puzzled, but you're not yet. He said he doesn't really understand. But he said, L'chatchili should be choshish for that Rashi. So, and then the Ran is quoted. That Rashi is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's not quoted. There's a sefer. Traditionally, when people learned for Smicha, they learned Yeridei with the Shach and the Taz. Then they learned the Prima Godim. So the Prima Godim is a commentary on the Shach and the Taz. But sometimes the Prima Godim is not so clear. So there are many chiburim are written to explain the Prima Godim. So one of the commentaries is called Mishmeres Shalom. He was a Pesach, he lived early 100 years ago. He died around 100 years ago. He quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes Yor Sameach, these were all contemporaries. And Marsham, he quotes the contemporary Gedolim. So he wrote the Mishmeres Shalom as a commentary on the Prima Godim on Yerideya. Now people don't learn the Prima Godim, so what are they going to look in the Mishmeres Shalom? But years ago, everybody looked in the Prima Godim. There's a tshuva sefer that's called Shadus Tshuvas Tirush V'Yitzar. I think it's called Shadus Tshuvas Tirush. Yeah, Galatian at Poisik, in between the First World War and the Second World War, I think. So the introduction to the sefer is written by his son. So he writes, his father got smicha when he was 17 or 18, and he got smicha from Big Gedolim, and then he went to the Avnei Neze, went to the Sochet Shavar Rebbe, and he gave him a pchina also. And his father knew all the answers. And then he asked him, what do you do when there's a how do you pass when there's a machlokes, the Derech HaChaim Siddur and the Prima Godim? So his father didn't know what the answer is supposed to be. Derech HaChaim Siddur is written by the Nesivos. So what do you do when there's a machlokes? So he's going to fake it? He doesn't know what the answer is supposed to be. So he said, I don't know what the answer is supposed to be. I personally would follow the Derech HaChaim Siddur. Because the Derech HaChaim Siddur says A, B, C, D. He tells you what to do. The Prima Godim has a whole shtickle Torah. And then he says, V'tzarchiyon, and look what I wrote over there. Then you look over there, it has a whole shtickle Torah, V'tzarchiyon, and look what I wrote over there. Then you look over there, it tells you to go back to the first place. So you go around in circles. He said, I personally would follow the Derech HaChaim Siddur because he tells you A, B, C, D. So the son writes that his father told him that the Avnei Nezer told him, young man, there's no klal had a paskin, but I heard from my father-in-law, his father-in-law was the Kotzke Rebbe. He heard from his father-in-law that now that the Prima Godim is available, whoever paskins without looking at the Prima Godim has the status of Toye B'Dvar Mishnah. You have the right to disagree with the Prima Godim, but you have to see what he has to say. That's what he quotes. Anyway, so the Prima Godim is an important sefer. How did I get involved in the Prima Godim?
Mishmeres Shalom. Mishmeres Shalom.
So this sefer, the Mishmeres Shalom, he wrote a little sefer. He has a sefer on Hilchas Avelis that's fantastic. It's called Chaim Avrochel and Mishmeres Shalom. It has all of Hilchas Avelis alphabetically arranged. I have, the boys bought me a gigantic set of Shulchan Aruch. They may have it in one of their volumes here. So in the end of the last volume in Yeridah, they have the whole sefer on Hilchos Avelos. All Hilchos Avelos alphabetically arranged. He quotes every Rishon and every Yachin that was available till his time. He quotes fantastic Bikirs. They have such a sefer on Dalad Minim also, Chaim Avrochel and Mishmeres Shalom. They call it Bikitz a Chesvot Beis, the Chaim Avrochel. Everybody lifts a lot of, they steal, a lot of Marmi comes from his Sfarim, both on Hilchos Avelos and on Hilchos Dalad Minim. So he has this whole discussion about this Rashi, that if you have the Ravas higher than the Hadassim and the Yotzi, he quotes, he corresponded with the Marsham about that. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote The Ran on the Rif, the Ran says it's not enough the lulav should be dalat tefachim. The lulav, the shedra of the lulav should protrude at tefach. The hadasim should be slightly higher than the arovis because of that Rashi. Okay. And then the shedra of the lulav should protrude at tefach above the top of the hadas. It's not enough that the lulav is very tall. If you're going to take the hadasim and arovis 3 inches from the bottom, then it's going to be 3 tochim tall. It's usually more than 3 tochim. Then you're not going to have any shedra at all of the lulav. Shedra is the thick part. When you get to the top, there's no more shedra. The shedra disappears around 4 or 5 inches before the top. So the shedra of the lulav has to protrude at tefach above the top of the hadas, which should be higher up than the arovis. You got to see to it that it should. You have to start the hadas on the arovis from the bottom of the lulav. You can't start. You can't tie it up a few inches above the bottom. There's a discussion in the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchos Pasul B'Cholov. They found the Tshuvas of Ramban, and they're not sure what the correct reading should be. The practice used to be in Europe. I don't know if people still do it today. They would take the lulav, the hadasim, and the arovs, put it in a bucket of water. When they're not paying yotz in the mitzvah, so in order to keep it fresh. So what do you do on? So every day you take it, you go to the whatever, the 7 o'clock minyan, 8 o'clock minyan. So by the time you come home, it's already 9:30, 10 o'clock. So you put it in the bucket of water. Then tomorrow morning at 6:30, when you're going to go to the 7 o'clock minyan, so you take it out. So the lulav and hadasim rovis was not soaking in the water for 24 hours. What do you do over Shabbos, though? The lulav is muktzeh, so you don't handle it. So it's soaking in water for almost 48 hours, soaking water for more than a whole day. So that's a dion of kovish kemevushal. The Gemara says if you have an esrig hamevushal, it's no good. If you have an esrig hakovish, if the esrig is soaking in water for 24 hours, kovish kemevushal, it's no good for the mitzvah. Does kovish kemevushal apply only to the esrig? Because esrig is basically a lemon, it's food. So there's shaykh to talk about kovish kemevushal on food. They say kovish kemevushal on a stick, on a wooden stick, on a lulav. There's no food over there. Hadasim arovis. So there's a tshuvas haRamban about this. So they were arguing what the correct girsa should be. It is good or it's no good. The Stechemet has a long arichas on this, but the boys who learn every day, you should know it from Pischei Tshuva and Hilchos Basul B'Cholov quotes it, where they say kovish kemevushal on the lulav and the hadasim and on the arovis. Does it din hadasim have to be mishuloshim? You have to have all the three. You have to have a minimum of three. You have 6 and 7 is better. It's kosher. It's not better. It's kosher. But you have to have at least 3. They have to be approximately the same point, the same height coming out from the stem of the hodas. So lechatchili should have the whole shear of 3 tefachim should be mishuloshim. But yeah, we did say ruba kukula is also good. Those who are learning Chulin, the first daf in the second parak in Chulin, the Mishnah says that if you shecht Rav Hakon and the Rav Aveshit, b'riyevet it's good, but l'chatchila, if you shecht Kol Hakon and Kol Aveshit, that's a din l'chatchila. So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis, is that a l'chatchila deraisa, or only l'chatchila mederabonon? But it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that when you drink abekoisis, l'chatchila should drink Kol Hakois, and it's only b'riyevet that Rav Kois is good. Because it's only the Rabbanan, you can't say it's a l'chatchila deraisa. But by dalad minim istama, there would be room to say that ruba kukula for a mitzvah is only mid the Rabbanan. Could be that that's a l'chatchila deraisa. L'chatchila deraisa, by mitzvahs, you can have a l'chatchila and the Rabbanan on the level of deraisa. Our Rabbis in this Sefer Chaim Avrochon, Mishmer Shalom, he quotes a Bahag in Hilchas Treifus. See, you gotta know Kol HaTarkula. He was a Pesach Mefursim. The Mishmer Shalom was a big Pesach he knew all over. So in Hilchas Treifus, they talk about Kitarfa da Oso, a certain part of the lung, if it's larger than the leaf of a Hadoth, of an Arava, it's larger than the leaf of a hodas, excuse me, larger than the leaf of a hodas, it's going to be a shiloh of a treifa. So how big is the normal size of a tarfa da'asa, a leaf of a hada? So it says the size of a thumbnail. Different people have different sizes thumbs, have different size thumbnails. But when I was in high school, I seem to remember, unless my memory is failing me, I seem to remember the leaves of the hadasim used to be smaller. And now you buy hadasim, a lot of times they have gigantic leaves. So this Chaim Avraham and Mishmer Shalom, he quotes some of the poskim of his time from 100 years ago who bring up this issue that if the hadasim leaves are too big, it could be that they're puzzle. So you should be careful not to have leaves of hadasim that are too big. The Mishkan Es Yankif was a rabbi in Karlin, Biankala Karlina. He was the rabbi in the city Karlin. Karlin had Karlina Hasidim, had stolen a Hasidim. So a lot of the Hasidim had a Hidur, Api Zohar, that you should dafka, you get a green esrig. They'll pay extra money to get a green esrig, because the Zohar says that the esrig gives a whole explanation why the esrig has to be Yorek. So he says, the esrig is puzzle. Gemara said, Beferish, if the esrig is Yorek Akarsi is green. Yorek, the word Yorek alone, in the Gemara Loshen means yellow or brown, but it doesn't mean green. If you want to say green, you say Yorek Akarsi. So he said, of course an esrig is Yorek. Yorek is yellow. Yellow or sometimes a little brownish, but it's not green. And he shows in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you have a green esrig, it's puzzle. So the Pashta says, some Achranim say, if you see the green is already starting to turn to yellow, so it already is fully ripened. So that was a svara in the Gemara, that green is no good because you have to have pre-exodar, has to be fully developed fruit. And if it's still green, means that it's still, like sometimes you buy a fruit from the store. You buy an apple, and it's too hot to eat. You have to wait a while till it's roi l'achila. So that was one suggestion. But mikaradin, that's not the way we paskin. We paskin that green is possible because it's not hodar. That hodar pasels, creates hodar. It has to be hodar. It pasels in the esrim. So that's not really right. Mishkan HaSankiv has, every so often, he has tshuvas attacking the practices that the Hasidim had. So this is one of his several tshuvas. By mistake, after Rav Chaim Elojen had passed away, so they published a volume that's called Chutam Shulosh, a collection of tshuvas by the three Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. So the first third, that's the part that people read, is by tshuvas by Rav Chaim Elojen. Then the second and the third parts are by Rav Blazer Yitzchak, I think was his son-in-law, and Rav Hillel. It's also a son-in-law, two sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin. I don't know if too many people read those parts, but people read the first third that has Rav Chaim Volozhin's tshuvas. So by mistake, they put together the tshuvas after Rav Chaim Volozhin had passed away. So by mistake, they included this tshuva that was clearly not by Rav Chaim Volozhin. It was printed during the lifetime of Rav Yankele Karlina. It's in the Mishkan Es Yankev. So they, by mistake, they thought that the tshuva was written by Rav Chaim Volozhin, so they included it there. It's clearly not by Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin, when he writes tshuvas, doesn't quote the Zohar. He quotes, and when he quotes a Gemara, he tells you what daf and what omud. The Mishkan Es Yankev tells you it's a Gemara in Sukkah. It's a Gemara in the third parak in Yevamos. He doesn't tell you what daf. Tosfos in Erevin. Rav Chaim Volozhin tells you which daf and which omud. So it's clearly not Rav Chaim Volozhin. And it was printed the exact word for word, the same tshuva. So that's a mistake. On the first day of Sukkot is Minoy Yinit Shalachem. That's a pasuk, L'kachtam Lachem Mishalachem. On the second day is Machlokes HaRishonim, where they say Sveka Diyam, all the dinim from the first day apply to the second day. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, even though the Ritva has two opinions, Rabbi Paskin Beferish, that the dinim of the first day do carry over to the second day, Yinit Shalachem, and all the psulim of Chaser apply to the second day as well. Why should there be an opinion that you don't have, that there's no din of Sveka D'Yoymah B'negeh to the Dalim Minim? But Sveka D'Yoymah is only B'negeh to the Issa Malocha. You blow Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah also. What, you make a Seder on the second day. Why shouldn't Sveka D'Yoymah apply also to the Lulav? Rav Soloveitchik gave a very interesting suggestion. Why? He said, historically, when was Yantav Sheni Shal Golias introduced? the takana that we observe today, the takana, the minig, whatever it is, izar b'minig avaseichem yedeichem. So the Gemara in the beginning of Beitz. So that was during the lifetime of Abai v'Rava, the Gemara says. Abai v'Rava lived in Bavel, so their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Abai v'Rava, that's when they set up the calendar as we have it today, with all the klolim, lo adi rosh, lo badu pesach, all the klolim, how to establish the calendar. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the chief rabbi for 40 years, the Gemara says, part-time during the Zman HaBayis, and then after, the Gemara is not sure how many years, but the Zman HaBayis, how many years after Churban HaBayis. After the Churban HaBayis, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai made a takana, the Gemara says that he and his bezin made 9 takanas. The Gemara lists off all the 9 takanas. One of the takanas was that Shehelula Nitol Kol Shiva Zecha LeMikdash. On the first day of Sukkot, the rest of the days of Sukkot, you only shake a lulav by Migdosh. Lulav ayonita by Migdosh called Shiva. So after the destruction of the base of Migdosh, the mitzvah will never be observed anywhere. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai made a takana that all over the world you shake a lulav all the days of Sukkot. When it came the days of Abai Verova, they were shaking a lulav anyway on the second day of Sukkot. They were shaking a lulav for all seven days of Sukkot. So does it make sense that they should make a takana? You have to shake a lulav on the second day of Sukkot because of the sfeika d'yom on the first day. You're shaking lulav anyway. You're going to shake lulav tomorrow also when it's going to be chalamayid, not only because of sfeika d'yom. So maybe that's the reason why the Ritva had such an opinion. We don't paskin like that opinion. The Mishnah Berurah says that's not the way it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, but there was such an opinion that they never made a sfeika d'yom of netilas lulav. Because it's going to shake a lulav anyway the second day. It's going to shake a lulav all 7 days of Sukkot. Interesting, a historical explanation why they never introduced Sveika D'Yayma. The Gemara has a difference. Huktzen HaMitzvosa by Esrig in Hodos. Huktzen HaMitzvosa by Esrig is only from Achila. But you're allowed to smell the Esrig. Huktzen HaMitzvosa by the Hodos applies to, there's nothing to eat, so it applies to the smelling. Yeah, why is that so? So the Shachan Yeredeya thinks because Huktzen HaMitzvosa depends on Kavanas HaGavra. The person is Maktzeit Midaito. So the person only has in mind the Ikarish Tamsha. So by Hadasmi has in mind the Reach, and by Esrig he has in mind the Achila. And the Shach says this in disagreement with the Mechavna. Mechavna says not so. So Bemis Rav Soloveitchik pointed out it's a very difficult Shach. Because we said earlier tonight that there's a machlekes taisis in the Ramban. What if a person sits in the sukkah and he has in mind, I don't want the sukkah to become hooked to the mitzvah. So if he says, I don't want the noye sukkah to become hooked to the mitzvah, that the Gemara says you can do that. That's in Beitza Daf Lamed. Person has in mind, any bodlan manual called Ben Ashmoshes. I don't want the noye sukkah to become hooked to the mitzvah. That he can prevent. But can he prevent the schach? Can he prevent hooked to the mitzvah on the schach? So we pass on Shulchan Aruch. No, it's the Huktzen HaMitzvah says Chal Bal Korchoi. The Ramban is the one who disagrees. So the Shach gives a good argument. Yeah, that's according to the Ramban. But we don't pass like the Ramban. Shulchan Aruch says Beferish. You sit in the sukkah, you have Beferish in mind. You don't want it to become Huktzen HaMitzvah. So we say it becomes Huktzen HaMitzvah anyway. So the Mechaber quotes from the Bali HaTesvus. We pass like the Mechaber quotes from the Bali HaTesvus. There's a Tesvus in Avodah Zorah, I think on Daf Yud Gimel. That the Gemara says that before the Goyish holidays, they hang holly on the stores where they sell merchandise. So they hang flowers from Avodah Zarah. The holly is not Avodah Zarah, but in days of the Tanna, they used to hang Avodah Zarah. That's Asavano, and when all the customers would walk in, they would smell the pleasant. In the days of the Tanaim, the flowers used to smell good. When I was a little boy, flowers used to smell. Now the flowers just look good, they don't smell. So the poskim say some of the dinim may have changed. So that one of the dinim may have changed is over here, this issue, Taka. So the Mishnah says that there's a Kedusha, Mishnah Shviyas says there's a Kedusha Peiros Shviyas on flowers. Even though it's not Roi L'Achila, so the Gemara says it doesn't have to be Oichel. Whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael from the ground, whatever grows, behemoths grow, but they don't grow from the ground. whatever grows from the ground in Eretz Yisrael, if it's hanoasa ubiura shave, you get hanoa by consuming it. So then it has, then it's called a pri for the purposes of shmita. It has kedushas perishvias. So the Tosus explains in the end of Bava Kama. We learned in the Kollel yesterday. There's a gigantic Tosus on an Amud Aleph towards the end of Bava Kama. The Tosus explains that flowers that are oimed lahariach, so when you smell it, it's considered as if you're consuming the smell. Even though if nobody smells it, if the flower's in the desert, the smell is going to dissipate anyway. So what do you mean I'm consuming the smell? But since the Rabbeinu Shalom created flowers that smell for the purpose of human beings smelling it, so it's considered as if he's consuming. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din in Yerideh. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this din and draws a distinction between if you have the samim shel avodah zarah, if you have flowers shel avodah zarah that have a good smell, so it's a violation of Isa Hanoah if you smell it. If you have food of avodah zarah, that's also b'hanoah, and it has a good, let's say they bake the delicious cakes and they worship it, so it's also b'hanoah. But the main hanoah that you get from cake is eating it, not from, it happens to smell good also. So since the thing is not really amid lahariach, it's really amid lechol, just like the esrig is amid lachila, so smelling it is considered called marurechein b'mishum me'ila. That doesn't count. That's not called getting hanoah. If the thing is zaymed lahariach, that's how Tosfos distinguishes. Because the Gemara Daf Yud Gimel on Avodah Zarah says you're not allowed to go into the store where they have the flowers hanging, because you're going to get hanoah from the flowers. Right? There's a Gemara in the Yad and the Masichta about Bas Teya. A person smells wine and he gets hanoah from the wine. So the Gemara seems to say that it's muta, machlek zavara, it's muta. So Tosfos says because wine is zaymed lachila, wine is zaymed lishtia. You get hanoah from drinking it, but if you smell it also, you get hanoah. But the main purpose of the wine is zaymed lachila shtiyah, so therefore smelling is called ein bo mamish. Just like called the mara is ein bo mamish, so reach also. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like that. Tosfos pshat. The chilek between if the thing is zaymed lahariach, not like the Shach said, that hooks in the mitzvah, it depends on the kavanas agavra. We don't paskin like that. Like that Ramban. We pass like the Bali Atesis. Yeah, there's a din if you have an esrig that has a shinui mara, it's pasul. So this in the Sefer Chaim Aruch Mishmer Shom, he has a whole arichas on that. He says only if the shinui mara is machmas ipush. Let's say you buy an esrig and it has black dots on it. It's not rotting away. That's the natural color. That's where it grows on the tree. So that's not called the shinui mara. Shinui mara means if all the yesrogim were laying on top of each other and they started to rot, it started to spoil, and then it changed colors, the outside changed color. Shinemar, machmasipush, that possible. But just if that's the way it grows, with a little bit of black spots, often the merchants who sell yesrogim will always have toothpicks on them. So if you take a toothpick, you can usually pick out the black spot that's not even attached to the yesrogim. It's a little dirt that got stuck in one of the cracks in the yesrogim. Okay, should all have an enjoyable Yom Tov.
Have you been a long time? Could you have the regular time, but then you have like a Coleman and then you have something attached to the ball?